Faithful love, that crazy brand of Dodger ball. I'm talking baseball. Gil Hodges, Campanella, Dodgers baseball. Zach and Cuccinello, Pistol Pete and Robbie and Big Nuke. Junior Pee Wee Preacher and the Duke. Talking baseball. Forever Dodger blue.
Thank you, Terry Cashman. An excellent rundown, an excellent rendition of the classic song here, tailor-made for this next guest. We have, for the second consecutive year, a Dodgers-Phillies League Championship Series on the horizon here. The Dodgers, managed by a probable future Hall of Famer. The last time these two teams met back-to-back over 30 years ago, they were managed by a man who would go on to become a baseball Hall of Famer. Currently an executive still with the Dodgers, his beloved team. I can only be speaking of the legendary Tommy Lasorda. Tommy, welcome to the FDH Lounge here tonight, sir. Pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, I'm always happy to be able to do your show.
Well, we love having you on, Tommy, and I want to say off the bat here, I mean, it's not surprising to me that you would be a gentleman who would be progressive enough to come on and do an internet TV show, because I'll tell you what, for a guy who is steeped in the old school, you know, you really have your hands in the 21st century media here. You know, you've got the blog on mlblogs.com, you've got your Tommy Lasorda Twitter page, you're right there in the new media along with everybody else.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Those are great places to be able to follow what you're doing. We've got links to them up on our site here tonight. I hope that folks go and check that out. You've got to be very excited about the way that your team has performed here. I have to say, too, I'll be the first to admit that I thought it would be the tallest of orders to get past a team as well-balanced as St. Louis in the last round. But somehow or another, the boys in Dodger Blue were able to sum up the magic from early in the season and get it going again. And your team looks as tough as anybody right now, Tommy.
Yeah, we're playing. We got a good ball club, and when we work out on the field, we're capable of beating anybody. We've done it all year, and we just hope that we can continue it through the playoffs and the World Series.
And there are some things about this ball club that really are just tremendously special. An outfield that's as good as anybody in the game, a bullpen that I think you'd have to say is probably the best in the game, especially with the acquisition of George Sherrill, putting him in there, and the other guys setting up in the sixth and seventh innings here. So you come into this thing with some decided advantages in certain areas, Tommy.
Well, let me tell you something. I've been saying this for a lot of years. This is very, very definite that pennants, playoffs, and World Series are won and lost in the bullpen. If your bullpen excels, you got a good chance of winning. If your bullpen flounders, then you won't. You've seen it already in the playoffs. And in every World Series or any playoffs I can go back to, it's always been the bullpen.
It has been. And, boy, we've seen – there have been some shockers so far, Tommy, because we've seen some absolutely great closers get lit up in the first round here. Fortunately for your team, Jonathan Broxton was not among them, but we've seen some big surprises with some bullpen letdowns thus far. And it seems especially important for a team like yours – because you don't have, at this point, at least the prototype ace in there. Although, you look at a situation here, certainly one would think that if you guys were to win the World Series, your best bet would be probably a scenario like 2003. You had a guy like Josh Beckett who stepped up for the Florida Marlins. And when you look at Clayton Kershaw, who is definitely going to be one of the greatest pitchers of the next decade if he stays healthy, the same kind of opportunity, I think, exists for you guys with him.
Well, that's very true, and we realize that, you know, this guy's got great stuff, and we're relying on him now for the big ones. See, Joe just took him away all season the right way, make sure he didn't hurt himself, and now he's ready to put him in one of the biggest games of his life.
And he's really been showing of late and coming down the stretch in September that he's really up to the job. And I tell you what, and as somebody who is as much a part of the organization as you are, you're going to know what I'm talking about here, along with a lot of the listeners out there. But the success of this team over the last 2 years can't come as that big of a surprise, because I'll tell you what, I mean, you look at the Jacksonville team of a couple of years ago and coming through the minors, the core of players that have come up and been developed in this system, and Kemp and Ethier and Kershaw and Russell Martin and on down the line here, yes, the Dodgers are a large market team that can go and augment with those additional pieces, but if you want the best chances for success, you got to have as many homegrown players as you possibly can, and the Dodgers have been outstanding in that regard.
Well, to win a championship nowadays, you either have to produce them from the minor leagues or you have to sign them as free agents. So we've got the young ones that we produce from the minor leagues, and we got the older fellas that we signed as free agents, and you put them in the blender and you mix them up, and what it comes out, and it spells victory. So that's about what we see.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating mix there. And then you've got, just to kind of top it off, like for the last year and a half or so, maybe not quite the last year and a half because you got him at the beginning of August last year, Manny Ramirez coming in and being an additional part to the mix there, and somebody who really helped you get back to the league championship series a year ago, and with the kind of year that he's had this year when he's been in the lineup. Personality-wise, does he remind you of anybody you managed back in the day, or is he pretty much just completely unique as a character?
Who are you talking about?
Manny.
He doesn't remind me of anybody.
Okay. Yeah, I just...
He's a unique man. He's unique, very unique.
That's what many have said. Yeah, I didn't think he would have reminded you of anybody. Manny's one of a kind, certainly. But it's a really fascinating thing here because, again, the Dodgers are on the brink. If you get past the Phillies, of getting back to the World Series, and that in and of itself is special enough. There's no way that you get
been
to the
a long time. 1988
yeah.
has been a long time away.
Yeah.
And that's very unusual for a Dodger team.
Yeah.
To be that long without celebrating with that championship flag. I got a feeling in my bones that we're going to do it all the way this year.
Well, that would be amazing in and of itself. But, Tommy, here's the thing. If the Dodgers get there, you're guaranteed a great scenario either way, because you've either got the Yankees, and God, there have been so many great World Series with the Yankees over the decades, or you talk about 1988, One of the guys who was there with you, one of your core guys, Mike Socha, who's gone cross town and implemented a lot of these Dodger ways with the Angels here. You've got the first SoCal World Series if you play the Angels, or you've got the Yankees in one of the great rivalries in sports. Either way, you're looking at an epic World Series if you make it there.
Well, leave those there, Colin.
Yeah.
With all of those pictures except the ones I gave you. Well, I have to say this to you and all of your listeners, that the Dodgers have been revived again. And people used to look forward to seeing the Dodgers in the World Series. And it's been a long time since we've been there. But I believe from the bottom of my heart that this year, that will be achieved.
There's every reason to believe that. I made that pick myself earlier today in terms of picking the Dodgers to get past the Phillies. I like your chances with the matchup. Something that I want to make sure to talk about with you here tonight, Tommy, because I know this is something near and dear to your heart, a cause that is near to you, is Gil Hodges making the Hall of Fame here. And that's something that I think a lot of us who consider ourselves baseball historians would consider to be long overdue. And I know that Gil making it to the Hall of Fame is of the utmost importance to you.
He should be in the Hall of Fame. He will be in the Hall of Fame. But what's taken so long? I don't know. You just take his numbers of his career and match them with Tony Perez's number. They're almost equal. Tony Perez played 5 more years than Gil. Mm-hmm. Just look at first basemen that are in there and see if they're the kind of first baseman that Gil Hodges was. One of the greatest fielding first basemen you'd ever want on your ball club. Why he's not in the Hall of Fame, I do not know, and I can't answer why. But I know one thing. I vote for him every time. He belongs in there, and if you want to put his numbers up against other guys, you do it, and you'll find out that he belongs there.
Well, hopefully justice will assert itself at some point here. Hopefully there will be enough other votes like yours helping to put him in there, because he is very deserving of making it. But
I think God's going to finally say he's going to have enough of it.
Yeah.
He's had enough of it. He's been leaving everything up to those guys. Now he's going to step in and see that Hodges gets in the Hall of Fame. And when he's going to do it for Hodges, I want him to do it for Ron Santo, too.
Well, that would be great. Yeah, Ron Santo should be there as well. And, yeah, God is the ultimate measure of being able to get things done. So if it falls to God, it will get done. But it's really going to be interesting here in the meantime to watch these games play out with everything that the Dodgers have achieved thus far. It's been a magical season. Tommy, as we mentioned earlier on, of course, you've got your blog at MLB.com, the Tommy Lasorda's World ML blog, of course, your Twitter account as well. We always like to
give
our guests...
You better read it. You better read it.
Yeah. We got links up here, Tommy. People can click it. It's right there. People have no excuse not to check it out. We need them to go check it out, see what you're writing. You got anything else you want to plug here?
No, I just want to plug something very special to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten into the wine business, and every bottle I have has come from Italy. And in my opinion, there's nobody in the world who can make better wine than the Italians.
Okay.
So if you're interested in it, just go to LasordaWine.com and you'll find out where it is and how good it is when you taste it.
LasordaWine.com. We'll put up a blog to that also. And, Tommy, that's very interesting, because we are going to be having on the show in a couple of weeks, my producer has informed me, a big-time wine expert. So we'll have to mention the Lasorda wine on that program then as well. And
I wish I could have a couple bottles waiting for him when he comes.
Well, he may have, if he has any information that would be of interest to you in your pursuit, we'll certainly pass that along through the channels to you. Tommy, we're most grateful to have you on here tonight. It's been a great October. Your analysis lending a lot to us here tonight as we anticipate the next round and hopefully a World Series that has the Dodgers in it. A true pleasure to have you on, sir. You're a real legend. We'd be honored to have you back sometime.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Tommy. The
okay,
one and only
bye-bye.
Tommy Lasorda, a legend of the game, everyone. That is a true pleasure. Again, there's a real short list of guys who, just from a name value perspective, are up there with him that we've had on the program here. Bob Barker to San Diego Chicken. I mean, there's a few others in the course of our 77 shows here, but Tommy Lasorda gets mentioned in the first paragraph, no question, in the chronology of this show. And, you know, it's you're going to get the wit and the insight from him the way that he just delivered for everybody here, too. Interesting to hear. And two different things in terms of his analysis. One, when he was talking about the blend and putting together of a club, when I mentioned to him about the young talent, he was talking then about the young talent, how it's been augmented from the outside. But the part about the bullpen, it was pretty funny. I'm looking across the glass, and that is a comment that, you know, I know that he's made before. Ryan was reciting that almost word for word, the comment about the bullpen. So, yeah, I mean, that's you saw that one coming like a fat fastball down Broadway, Ryan.
I saw that come in like the Indians' bullpen was throwing to me.
Yeah.
He had actually written that on his Twitter page.
Okay.
Earlier this week, after the Phillies had won and finished off the Colorado Rockies, I believe it looked like it was after game either 3 or 4, and he had actually written that almost word for word. That's why when he said it, I had actually just posted it on the live blog right before he came on.
Uh huh. It's funny too, because his most recent thing on Twitter that he put up, this was from yesterday. People ask me what my favorite plate of pasta is, and I say, which of my five fingers do I like the most? So those are the kind of thoughts you're only going to get from Tommy Lasorda. Here are some other tweets of his this week. I had lunch with a federal judge today. I tried to talk him into extraditing a few of the players on the Cardinals. Obviously, he wrote that while the last round was still in progress. Let's see. They should blow up the 5 freeway. I don't care what time you drive on it. Traffic is always brutal. Interesting that it didn't mention that this was put up from a mobile device. So rest assured, Tommy Lasorda was not driving on the 5 and also tweeting at the same time. He put this up from an actual computer, it looks like here. Let's see. He says, for all the Dodger fans in St. Louis, if you're hungry, go to Charlie Ghetto's Pasta House. Tell them Tommy sent you.
Actually, I believe he was texting that. It actually says that it came from the text on the 5.
Wait a minute. Did I read that wrong? It did.
It comes from text. He is driving down the 5 telling them to blow it up. Tommy Lasorda might as well just be 25 years old.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the man's in his 80s, and he's still got a strong enough pimp hand to be driving the 5 in traffic and tweeting via text. Oh, God, I'm glad you caught that, Ryan, because it's even funnier to look at that. Yeah, I missed that somehow.
Can you imagine the guy that's stuck behind Tommy Lasorda on the 5? Lasorda's got probably his BlackBerry out, texting with one hand, driving with the other, and he's probably got it. The way Tommy is, he's probably bumping some Jay-Z in the car or something.
You know, that calls for a little Delonte West right there. How playa is that? Tommy Lasorda.
Put the hot sauce in the bag.
Tommy Lasorda tweeting in traffic on the 5 in L.A. I mean, if that's not the mental image of all mental images here.
I've done it all. I've heard it all now. I can quit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's right. I'm so glad you caught that I was wrong about that, because I didn't see the from text thing there. I was waiting for it to, because sometimes they'll tell you, like, by a mobile device or whatever. But yeah, from by text. So unless somebody else was driving, which we prefer not to think of because it makes for a better story to think Tommy was doing it.
The funniest thing is if you start looking at him, it looks like all of his posts are from text. I can just imagine Tommy at the game in the clubhouse texting about the Cardinals players and about winning series.
Yeah. Oh, man. He's hanging out in the clubhouse. It'd be funny. Like, you know, hey, Ethier, I'll be with you in a minute. I'm just tweeting here on my phone. There is only one Tommy Lasorda.
I've heard of a player's manager and a player's GM before, but this is ridiculous.
Hey, Tori, I'll be with you in a second, buddy. We'll go out to dinner after that. I just got to finish tweeting my post-game analysis on the phone here. I said when he came on, I said, hey, the man is old school, but he's got one foot, if not, I think we could say both feet, firmly planted the new millennium.